It's 8:50 on a Wednesday morning. Joining us now in studio, as he has each Wednesday for the last 3-4 months or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, something like that.
Or has it been 12 years, 15 years or whatever? State Representative David Bly. David, thank you so much for coming in today. Yeah. We certainly appreciate it. The legislative session is over. Your last regular session.
Yeah. It's probably, at least if Governor Dayton sticks to his word, there won't be a special session, mm-hmm. which is in some ways unfortunate, but I understand. I mean, he's last year he tried to have special sessions with Republicans, and they just could never agree to narrowly focusing on just a few things. And so I think it would be, tough to conclude a special session if he started it. So
yeah, let's go back to last weekend. You know, we talked last week about it's going down to the 11th hour, and boy, sure enough, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
A lot of legislation was passed through at really last hour, about between 11 and 12 before midnight. I guess we can start off with a few of the big pieces of the legislation.
Yeah, yeah.
Tax bill. The federal government has changed all their tax stuff, and Minnesota has been dependent on some of the numbers from the federal tax reports. Let's talk about that. Where do we start?
Yeah, I know. There were things that Governor Dayton was not happy about that were in the tax bill in the first place. $140 million for multinational corporations, cuts for them. The way the tax cuts were structured, Republicans like to talk about, 98% of the Minnesotans are going to get a tax cut. But, if you're a family of four and you have an income of $40,000, you're going to get about a $20 tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, making a whole lot more money, you could see, in the thousands, tens of thousands of dollars tax cut. So it wasn't, maybe 98% were going to get a tax cut, but it was pretty, not necessarily exciting for everybody. They're not going to be able to see a real return. But they didn't really include any in their omnibus. Some people are calling it omnibus prime after the toy. But anyway, it didn't. They didn't really have any education funding increase, which a number of schools were saying, if we don't get some kind of education increase, we're going to have to lay off teachers. So they kind of complicate things in that particular bill. The governor said, you're talking about giving $140 million to multinational corporations, which will not really help anyone in Minnesota. Might help Republicans if they get some money from those multinational corporations, but not going to help anybody else really. And yet there's almost the same amount of money we need for schools. So governor said, give me $139 million for schools, and then we'll see about the tax bill. But so Republicans took that as a way to to compromise. They said, we'll give you $50 million of money from various accounts for schools, and we won't change our tax bill at all. So, and this is emblematic of how they negotiate. They will take what the governor is saying, and then they will make an offer, and they say, that's the compromise. Take it or leave it. And, traditionally, a compromise means the two sides sit down, and they kind of haggle about what's in and what's out. And when they both leave the room, they know they've agreed to it. They may not like everything in it, but they know they've agreed to it. That's not what happened here. And time again, in many, many bills, this is what they would do. They would say, here's, we heard what you want, and they would return with an offer and say, that's it, that's the compromise, And they would go around by saying that they had compromised then.
How has the governor's stance differed from that? Because it seems like both sides. The governor is saying, hey, look, I want this, the $139 million, and that's it.
Well, not exactly.
There doesn't seem to be a compromise on either side.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Because the governor said, come talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sort this out. They wouldn't talk. I mean, their response was always, here's this. This is it. This is the final offer. They wouldn't say, okay, this is our counter offer. Now, what do you think about that? It was never that kind of negotiation. I think the governor might have accepted something different. But to give him a small amount of what he wanted and then say that's the compromise without changing what they wanted at all is not really a true negotiation. I mean, they could have come back, you know, he could have come back and said, you know, I want to see this, but they wouldn't have accepted that. It was this or nothing.
Let's we're talking once again with State Representative David Bly. Let's talk about bonding. Do you well, first of all, tax. Your gut feeling is he going to pass that tax bill? Is that going to be vetoed? Do you know yet?
I think it's maybe already been vetoed. I'm not
okay.
sure. Yeah.
Okay. Bonding. He had asked for $1.5 billion. The proposal that came through, or what the legislature passed, was $800 million. Where do you see that one going?
Well, okay, the other thing that they did with this particular bonding bill in order to get to close to the number that the governor was asking for was to take all the LCCMR money and put that into the bonding bill, and which is it's not what it's supposed to be used for, but that's what they're saying, that we're going to spend this money on a bigger bonding bill. That's not what Minnesotans want. That's not what the governor wants. And so it really puts puts him in a difficult position. He knows that the bonding proposals that are in there are going to create jobs. They're going to put people to work. A lot of them are, you know, hard hat labor folks that are hungry for those kinds of jobs. But to take money that is constitutionally dedicated for something else, and take that money and apply it towards a bonding bill, violates a lot of what. So I don't know what he's going to do.
What is that money you had mentioned?
Okay,
this is the
money that's, you know, dedicated for the environment and for the arts and for, you know, other things. So these are things that that Minnesotans are expecting to see go to things that they you know, for the environment, for other things that goes through a process where they sit down and they talk about, well, what, you know, people make proposals for how they'd like to spend that money on a certain project or whatever it might be, and that money won't be there.
Yeah, I guess I'm not understanding where this money is. Bonding money, which is money that we're going to be borrowing. Okay.
Right.
How is that constitutionally earmarked for somebody else?
Yeah, I understand. Okay. So when you do a bonding bill, there's also a certain amount of cash which is not bonding.
Okay.
So what they did essentially is take that cash from that fund and say, we're going to put that into the bonding bill to get where you want to be, Governor Dayton. And so when they pass a bill that has that in it, it makes it difficult for him when he knows that money's supposed to be going to something else. And, you know, should he sign that? Should he open the door to legislators being able to rob these funds to do something else? It's a poison pill, really. And, you know, he may well sign it, but I think he has to be very clear that this was something that they should not have done. And maybe it could be challenged in court. I don't know. But, you know, it's the kind of thing that with the public trust, you just don't do that.
All right. Once again, we're talking with State Representative David Bly. We're wrapping up the 2018 legislative session with our District 20B legislature, State Representative. Let's talk about a couple other things.
Sure.
We have, because there's so much, and we don't have all that much time, but boy,
yeah,
we can talk about this for a long time.
Yeah, we could.
You know, one of the things, one of the vetoes that he came out with was yesterday, and that was a veto concerning increased penalties for those who block traffic and such during protests. I found that kind of surprising, and I really, to be honest with you, I mean, it's no surprise that he vetoed it, because he's talked about vetoing that and said he would. I don't understand his point of view on this at all.
Well, okay, let me see if I can explain.
Okay, sure.
So not only is it for blocking airports and freeways, because I think the governor was clear that he would have signed it if it was a clean bill like that.
Okay.
But what he objected to is that there were certain things about damage to property and blocking things to other kinds of you know, I'm lost for words, I guess, for a moment. But anyway, the thing is that when there's a labor strike, this would have prohibited labor strikes in certain areas as well. So, not prohibited necessarily, but increased the fines or the penalties for those. And I think that there were a number of labor unions that said, you know, this is just wrong. I mean, we accept that there ought to be some penalty but to make this a felony or to make it as severe a penalty as they're talking about will inhibit the ability for unions to go on strike if they want to in certain cases, in certain areas. So that was the part that he objected to that was in the bill. He was clear. He said he would have signed the other part of it. But, again, they didn't send it in the kind of way that he said. I mean, this happens again and again. He says, I'll sign it if this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, we'll give you that and this too.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that compromise? No.
Well, only if both sides say, yeah, that's the compromise we'll accept.
Uh-huh.
But if they, you know, if they're not sitting down and saying, well, okay, I'm pretty, you know, he might say, well, I'm pretty uncomfortable with that, but what can you do to sweeten the deal? Or what can you do to make it better, to make it easier for me to accept that? But they don't do that. You know, they don't come back with another offer. Mm-hmm. They don't say, well, we recognize what you're saying. You know, let's see if we can do this. Or, I mean, it's I'm sure it's very frustrating for Governor Dayton because, I mean, this has happened to him. You know, they used essentially the same strategy they did a year ago, where anything that they thought that they were going to negotiate on, they would say, okay, we'll give you that, and then we won't even tell you, but we'll sneak this other thing in. You know, that you weren't expecting, in order to just to make the point that we're going to.
Once again, we're talking with State Representative David Bly. Where do we go from here? You know, as far as, where do you think that the legislative session, it is over now? Skeptical that there might be a special session. What was left out of this session are undone at this point.
Yeah, so there's...
From your point of view.
So there was no acting on the elder care abuse concerns.
Mm-hmm.
There's no opioid epidemic addressing that problem. You know, there was a lot of support for some kind of sane gun control, background checks or whatever. A lot of people supported that. Of course, there are people who are opposed to any kind of gun control. I recognize that. But that didn't happen either. So the tax bill will have to be resolved next January. And, you know, it will slow things down for people who are trying to get their taxes done because it'll be uncertainty there. I think something will happen. In January, they'll probably put together something, work on it over the summer, or whatever. But whoever is in the majority is going to have to quickly take care of that. The school funding issue was not resolved, you know, so there will probably be school layoffs, and that's really unfortunate. So those are just a few of the things that didn't get resolved that people were expecting some action on.
Boy,
really,
that's you're not running for re-election now, so this will be the first you know, election cycle, I guess, you've had off in quite some time.
Yeah.
But boy, you know, from the standpoint of what is going to be, I can't even imagine what this election cycle is going to be like this coming fall. Which way it's going to go? What are going to be the key points? You'd mentioned a lot of things there did not get done.
Yeah.
But come the election cycle, you know, we have something totally different, some bizarre thing that I don't know if both parties agree to, but it's some type of, I don't know, rights issue or something, some social issue that have nothing to do with the brass tacks of running a government. Where do you see it going in the fall? Any idea yet? Or?
Well, you know, I think we don't really know which direction it's going to go in. I mean, there's a lot of talk about a blue wave, about Democrats being excited and energized and turning out, and that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know what's going to happen on the Republican or GOP side. I mean, maybe the difficulties or troubles that Trump is having will excite them to come out and support him. I don't know, but historically, state legislators across the country, the party that's not in office in the presidency does pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That's historic.
Sure,
so
yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. But I think it's unpredictable. And as you say, there's always that chance that something really drastic will come up that's unconnected to anything that we are seeing now. I mean, one of the things that I'm worried about or fear is that the kind of actions that Trump is doing could lead us into war, and who knows what that would do to the electorate. You know, whether they will be angry about being forced into a war, or whether it will unify them and bring them together, as some wars do. I have no idea what the outcome of that will be. But
yeah, I don't think anyone does. Wait, no crystal ball here.
No.
I would like to add one more thing, or ask you one more thing. Last legislative session, it looks like, is done and over with. You still have 7 months to go as our official 20B representative.
Right, right.
What's going on in those 7 months? Any idea yet?
Well, some things. I mean, this is, you know, in some ways, this is among the things I enjoy the most, and that is the opportunity to help individuals with different things, people who contact my office. And I think I've mentioned this before, that they may need help dealing with some agency or something like that. And being in service in that way, connecting them to solutions and answers to the problems that they may have is fun to do. It's satisfying, gratifying. The other thing is that I still remain members of the Legislative Water Commission and the Legislative Energy Commission, and those commissions will continue to meet in the off season. So I'm looking forward to being engaged about some of those issues, and certainly water has been a huge discussion for some time, and I hope to weigh in on some of those issues.
All right. Well, Dave, well, we're out of time. We got to move on. Maybe we'll have you back at some point, but I just want to thank you for being with us not only this week, but each week. We don't always see eye to eye on every issue, but I want to thank you for your honesty and for your passion and for being a state legislator that is guided by his conscience and due faith. So thank you very much for your representation over the course of a number of years, and maybe we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure, Jeff. It really has. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. David Bly, State Representative for District 20B.